From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Justified by 3/4 of a length. Baltimore Road trying ever so hard, but Justify, another exhilarating exhibition by the supremely gifted athlete. He's on a dizzying ascent to greatness.
Oh, what a one this is! It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso Fantastico in the One Memorial.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
It's Lone Seller, Noble Indy, My Boy Jack, toward the rail, Noble Indy, Lone Seller, Noble Indy, to win the Louisiana Derby.
Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got but second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Billy in fourth. Blended Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, he's the pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you once again in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you with us for the next 2 hours as we look back on the 144th run for the Roses and begin to look ahead to the 143rd running of horse racing's middle jewel, the Preakness Stakes, and should be a good one. Justify, so impressive in the slop last weekend at Churchill Downs, just relished the going, as did a couple of others who ran big races. We're going to talk about those as we kind of dive into some of the things that we saw over at Churchill Downs. And in case you're wondering, and JT, I know you are, we are just 357 days, 10 hours, 47 minutes, and 55 seconds away from the 2019 Run for the Roses.
Well, isn't that lovely? It means it's getting closer by the day that Gabby Gaudette and I will be doing the lead-in shows once again.
There you go, 42. And by the way, got some great feedback on those, so thank you for doing that. Well done.
They were. Thank you. They were fun to do. Gabby's so great to work with, and she's just sensational. I got a lot of nice feedback too from people, and they really appreciated the fact that we were able to bring all that action early on in the morning. So it seems like the listeners didn't mind getting up an extra half hour early to get it going, because it was great live.
I have to tell you, I didn't know what to do with myself for those couple of hours. It's been years since I have not done a morning show for Derby or a lead-in show to the Breeders' Cup, for example. We made the decision this year, you and Gabby were going to handle those programs. It allowed me to spend time in the barn areas, which I haven't done in years. Had a chance to sit down with Todd Pletcher for about 30 minutes at his barn, and he was unbelievable. One-on-one, he was so good. And my thanks to Todd for taking the time. You know, you run into guys like James Graham, who did an interview with me impromptu. I just ran into him, and I said, hey, you want to talk about riding in your first Kentucky Derby? He took the time to do that, and it was kind of fun to be back there doing those things and talking to, you know, people that were going to be participating, not only in the Derby, but in the Oaks, too.
Yeah, we never saw you. I thought you were going to come by and do a segment with us, but no.
That was the plan. that was the plan, and then you know how
people
it is.
Would come by, where's Mike? I don't know.
you know how it is at Churchill Downs, right?
I know, it's
well,
crazy.
Any backside for us when we're around the barn areas and you see so many people, not just horsemen, but media people that you run into, and you spend a couple of minutes talking to everybody. But I was talking to Michelle, my wife, about that, and I said, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, because all the other media people have their own agendas. They're all trying to get to a storyline or talk to somebody. So you spend a couple of minutes saying hello, and then you're on to the next person, and you spend a minute or two. And a lot of times you're just walking with each other from barn to barn, and then you go left, that other person goes right, and, you know, you're on your way. But it's just the way that you know, that things are in the morning on the backside.
Yeah,
especially Derby week.
Yeah, Derby week is crazy. And it was interesting this year. There wasn't as big a crowds as there were before. The last several years, at least. I don't know if the 7:30 thing had something to do with it.
I bet you
it
did.
Little too early for people to get up and going. But Thursday was the only day that it was even remotely as crowded as it has been in years past. And, you know, nothing had really changed. You know, Thursday was the big day. But, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday was relatively light crowds watching the horses train.
But I actually couldn't get on the backside. I mean, I got on the backside, but I couldn't park. I had a parking pass to get me into the barn area. Mm. Couldn't get in there on Wednesday morning for some reason. The gate that you're supposed to drive into, gate 8, which is the media gate, designated just for the media, was locked tight as a drum.
Yeah.
You couldn't get into it, so we had to park way across the street, walk over. I ended up missing the horses on the track that morning because I couldn't get in.
Yeah, they transferred everybody down to gate 6, and you had to park over there by Doc Harthill's old company.
Across
the street.
Which is ridiculous because they give you a media parking pass to get you into the backside. So, I mean, Churchill... Yeah.
They don't give you anything, Churchill.
We were treated wonderfully by Churchill Downs, but that was one little incident there where you say, okay, we can do a little bit better in this respect, guys.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I parked my car where I usually did across from that gate, and there was a car parked like in a driveway with a woman behind the wheel, and then I walked over to the gate. They said it wasn't going to be open, so I walked back to my car. She hopped out of her car. And she goes, what did they say about the gate? I said, it's not going to be open. She goes, I can't believe it. This is my house across the street. I've been walking through that gate, you know, for the last 10 years. Nobody's ever, you know, bothered me. That's why she was in her car. She didn't know if she had to drive somewhere. So I told her where to go. I said, follow me. We're going over to gate 6.
And you always have to remind, if that's the worst thing that happens Derby week, then you're in pretty good shape.
Oh,
if you had to park across the street one day and walk across the street to get to the barn area, so be it. Yeah. I mean, things happen, right? Miscommunications
happen. But that's why she bought that house across the street from the gate.
Right. Right. I get it. No, I completely understand. It's, I mean, like I say, the folks at Churchill, they bent over backwards to help us and our entire team throughout the entire week, and they were so good. So I just consider that one little minor blip in the radar. And other than that, it was a flawless week, and everything went really well. So,
yeah, I would just like to know sometimes the meaning behind why racetracks do some of the things that they do.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever figure that out.
Yeah. They should get, if they're going to lock a gate, they should give you a card. Say, we locked this gate because of security purposes. We're going to do this, this, and this. You know, so you know what's going on. Because out of the blue, when you've been doing something for years on end, and then out of the blue, it's like verboten, then you just go, what's going on here?
Yeah. How about the race itself? Justify ultra impressive. And I know, look, we said this on air after the race, the final running time, not swift. It was the slowest Derby since Super Saver ran almost that same time years ago. But you look at the internal fractions and you see those, that opening quarter, 22 and change. And then you see that third fastest half mile in Derby history and Justify right up on it. So the final running time to me is inconsequential. Especially with the track conditions the way they were at Churchill on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, just taking raw time from Derby to Derby, it depends on the track. Now, he didn't get a huge Brisnet speed figure. He got a 102 for that, coming off of a 114. So he's your bounce and win kind of horse.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, When you sit back and look at it, and you know I wasn't a particularly huge Justify fan going in, but when you look at it afterwards, Good Magic won the Eclipse Award as a 2-year-old, right? Whether you like that or not, it was controversial.
Right.
But he did it, and he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and obviously a very talented horse. Then Audible, we saw win the two best Kentucky Derby preps of the season.
Mm-hmm.
No question, the best horse in Florida, one of the best 3-year-olds in the country. I
thought he ran an absolutely monster race.
He did.
Last weekend.
He ran fantastic, and he just got basically nosed out of second place.
Right.
So when you look at those two horses, they finished, you know, 1-2-1, they finished 2-3 behind Justify. You can't really knock Justify in any way, shape, or form. I mean, he beat two of the best competitors there were to beat and then had everybody else way behind them. I became a fan that day.
Like I say, I mentioned the fractions, but 22.24 for the opening quarter mile. Justify is right up on it. 45.77 for the half. Now, keep in mind, they're going a mile and a quarter here. So that's motoring in the first half mile. They slowed down a little bit. They went 111 flat for the six furlongs, and then by the time they got to the mile, it was 137.35. But the fact that Justify was able to hold off quality horses, like you just mentioned, Good Magic and Audible, and let's face it, Good Magic took a couple of shots at him. He gave it everything he had, and Justify just would not let him, wouldn't let him get close. He wouldn't be denied victory here. He just wouldn't do it.
There were several horses that actually had a chance to win turning for home if they had kicked it in, but nobody really kicked it in.
And I'll tell you, the horse that I think ran a sneaky good race in there was Instilled Regard. I know he ends up fourth. I think he could have been even closer. It wouldn't have surprised me if he was up there battling for that second, third photo with Good Magic and Audible if he had had a little bit of running room turning for home. Because when you watch the overhead view on the NBC television coverage, Jude, he's in the clear. He's coming from far behind on the far turn, but he's in the clear. And then Drayden Van Dyke has a decision to make coming for home. He has four horses in front of him. He can either tip out and go around him, which of course would lose some ground, but would get him in the clear in the center of the racetrack. Instead, he held his ground, waited for a hold to open up, and he had to steady for just a couple of beats there. And when he finally got through, this horse just accelerated beautifully. I think if he tipped him out and got him in the clear, look, I mean, who knows? Instilled Regard could be up there battling for that second place position.
Yeah, being in the clear is always good. We talk about that all the time. But, split second decisions, and I'm sure going through Drayden's mind was all the wins that Calvin Burrell has had at Churchill on the rail. And you hate to give up ground at Churchill. It's one of those places where the rail can be quite golden. I mean, that's where the 50-1 horse came from.
Mind that bird.
Yeah. And you know, I mean,
on a track very similar to what we saw.
Yeah, we got to figure out a way to get the Derby some better weather.
That would be nice.
This is just horrendous. Having to run the Kentucky Derby in the mud every year, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be nice. And let's hope for good weather next weekend in Baltimore as well as we head to the Middle Jewel. You'll hear that race exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage begins next Saturday at 2 o'clock with the undercard and then segues at 5 o'clock into coverage of the Preakness Stakes. And you can listen to that coverage presented by TwinSpires.com on affiliates across the country, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and streaming worldwide on our website, HorseRacingRadio.net. And you can head over there now to see more information. All right, here's our poll question for this morning. Then we'll tell you what's ahead over the course of the next 2 hours. We're, again, going to look back on the Derby, look ahead to the Preakness Stakes. And a lot of people saying that Justify looks unbeatable next week in Baltimore. And many people thinking that there is no horse that's going to get close to him in the third leg either at Belmont Park. So some people drawing comparisons to American Pharoah. I think a lot of that has to do with the Bob Baffert factor. So the poll question is this. Will we have a Triple Crown winner this year? Or maybe better yet, because Justify is the only horse that can do it, will Justify win the Triple Crown this year? Yes or no? Those are the two things. We're going to keep it really simple. We want to know, do you feel that Justify will win the Triple Crown here in 2018? Head over to our Twitter feed, at HRRN, to vote. You can also do it Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And if you want to email the show, get in touch with us here, mike@horseracingradio.net, and we will pass along those results as we move throughout the program. All right, when we come back, we're going to visit with Acacia Courtney, who, of course, works down at Gulfstream Park, and she is now at Pimlico for Preakness, getting set for that Middle Jewel. So we'll talk to her about the Preakness. We'll talk to her about the big drama stakes taking place at Gulfstream later this afternoon. Michael Hernan from Gainsway will be with us at 8:35 Eastern. He will talk about the filly that he bred, who turned out to be pretty darn good. That is Kentucky Oaks winner Monomoy Girl. So we'll hear from Michael at 8:35. Elliot Walden is the president and CEO of Windstar. They are co-owners of Derby winner Justify. Elliot will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then trainer Peter Erton at 9:40 Eastern. He'll send out Core Beliefs in this afternoon's Peter Pan Stakes at Belmont Park, which, of course, is the local prep race for the Belmont. So we'll talk to Peter coming up toward the end of the program. lot of things to get to. Acacia's next, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by FarmPaint.com.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 858-588-5480.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Justifying Mike Smith turning for home in front. Good Magic and Jose Ortiz a length behind as they come into the final furlong. Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside is now up in a third. Justify, a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside, then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome! Justify has won the Kentucky Derby! It was very close for second. Audible may have got there inside of Good Magic. Then it's still Regard in a final time of 2 minutes, 4.20 seconds. He's still undefeated.
Larry Coleman's with the call of that Kentucky Derby last Saturday at Churchill Downs. Justify becoming the first horse since Apollo in 1882 to win the Kentucky Derby without having started as a two-year-old. So that curse is now broken. We can stop talking about that for a while, JT. I know that's music to your ears.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm over it.
Also music to the ears of owner Elliot Walden and Windstar Farm. We're going to be joined by Elliot coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern time, so stay tuned for that interview as we look back on that performance by Justify. Well, it's a big day of racing down at Gulfstream Park because they have the $100,000 Big Drama Stakes, which is for the Florida Breds. It's 7 furlongs on the main track. nobody knows Gulfstream Park better than our good friend and our colleague, Acacia Courtney, who spends much of her time in South Florida and is now at Pimlico getting ready for the Preakness. So she joins us now to talk about that big race at Gulfstream and look ahead to next weekend at the Preakness. Acacia, good morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Mike and Jude. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
How's the finger feeling this morning?
Doing okay. Yes, I was leaving for the track yesterday morning, and I managed to shut my finger in the door of the rental car. So spent much of yesterday in the urgent care waiting room getting stitches. So that was fun. It
wow.
was a good way. You know, at least it was this week and not next week on Black Eyed Susan Day or Preakness Day.
Yeah, Acacia playing hurt on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning.
That was brutal. I saw the bandage on your hand. That was quite a operation they performed on you. I remember I got my finger caught in the door of my grandparents' front door, and it was a big, thick oak front door. I mean, it was maybe Oof. 3 inches wide, and I got my finger stuck in there when I was a kid, and my nail turned black and everything. It was brutal.
Oh, no.
I cried like a baby.
It's not your microphone hand, is it, Acacia?
It's my right hand, and I'm right-handed, but I do hold my microphone with the left hand most of the time, so that's what I'll be doing. I'll be doing that for the next week or so.
You can go left.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, we'll make it work. But it's really funny because it just, good news travels faster on the racetrack because I came in after I had hurt myself and then I went over to Mount Sinai close by and I came back after 2.5 hours waiting to get stitches and every single person that I passed asked me how it was doing, you know, from the stewards to the TV guys, whatever it was. So good news travels faster on the racetrack, but everybody was really nice and supportive. And thankfully I am back and it's not that bad.
All right, now you're going to be at Pimlico over the course of the next week, all the way through Preakness, but previously you were down at Gulfstream Park. You were there all the way through the championship meet, so you have your eye on racing there in South Florida, and I mentioned that big drama stakes coming up later this afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's race 11, 6:03 Eastern is the post, and a field of seven. The most intriguing entrant is Three Rules, who returns to the races having not started since last December. Tell me a little bit about the big drama and about this field.
Well, I really like Three Rules in this spot. Of course, he's going to be a short price, but I think 7 furlongs is really his most potent distance. And as a juvenile, he won all three legs of the Florida Sire Stakes. And they, rightly so, if you have the horse, they took the trip and took a try in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And that kind of sidelined him for a little bit. They tried getting him onto the Kentucky Derby trail. You see Florida Derby in the running lines. And again, if you have that kind of horse, it's certainly right to take a shot with it. But it turns out he's really better, I think, going this 7/8 distance. And his win in the carry back, I thought, was just so game. He and Mo Cash had this kind of rivalry in the last two. And he doesn't have to deal with Mo Cash today, but he does have two runners from Armando de la Cerda, which I think really could be a little interesting for him. So coming off a bit of a layoff, but he's always been a flashy, fast workhorse. That's very normal for him. And he does translate that to the afternoon.
He's a really cool horse. I've enjoyed watching him run. And, you know, am I talking through my hat here? Was he entered in another race a couple of weeks ago and scratched?
I don't remember seeing him at Gulfstream. It's possible he was entered at Tampa. I'm not sure, though.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought he was in. I was getting excited to watch him run, and then he was scratched. So maybe they didn't like the spot, or maybe he wasn't quite ready yet. But we'll see what happens
today. They've been very patient with him, which is really nice to see. They've really, really handled him well.
Yeah, and you mentioned the two runners from the barn of Armando de la Cerda, those being number 6, Croy, and number 7, Quixote. And Croy is an interesting horse. He's 3-1 morning line. He comes out of that grade 2 effort out at Santa Anita, where he was 2nd, beaten just a half a length. That was on the turf. Now returns to Gulfstream Park, where he's had a lot of success, and goes back to the main track. And the last time we saw him go 7 furlongs on the main track was in September, and he won quite easily that day. Has a lot of early speed. Is he the main danger in here, Acacia?
I certainly think he is. And Three Rules has some natural speed, too. And Croy's just been such a cool horse to follow throughout last summer. And I remember even talking to Armando, and that he said the horse has so much self-confidence, which I think is really key. You know, once he gets out in front, he will dig in. And he was beaten by some nice horses in his last couple of starts and comes out of that grade two race. He would set really fast fractions running away from the rest of the field, and he'd be able to hold on to it. So I looked back at my notes, actually, before I came on and looked at that race from September in the Bear's Den, which was taken off of the turf because there was some rain and the track was labeled as good. And I had written down that he could be a dirt horse. So I have no problem with him in this spot. And Armando, you see, he's batting at 24% in the Gulfstream meet. He had a great winter. He's continued that momentum through the summer. So a really sharp horseman that's done well in Florida.
Yeah, he's always a major player. Any race you look at, you have to upgrade his horses. They seem to run very well. Mm-hmm. So what's going on at Pimlico?
Well, of course, everything's getting ready for the Preakness. We had a Pimlico opening day on Thursday, so you still see a lot of construction going on in the infield, everything getting ready for the 10th anniversary of the Budweiser Infield Fest. I've been working on some feature videos getting ready for next week, and, of course, just looking ahead as we look to schedules of contenders starting to arrive next week, and you feel it's kind of the calm before the storm right now, even though it's not really that calm.
Yeah, I can imagine. And of course, Justify will be making his way there about the middle of next week. So we'll look forward to seeing the Derby winner arrive. And he'll take that, I would assume, that position into that stall, which is the first stall when you walk through the barn area gates. And it's just to your right where all the Derby winners tend to be. So we'll look forward to seeing him get there. How about some of the other contenders, Acacia, that are pointing that direction?
Well, of course, as I'm sure you've seen on social media, there are still a few horsemen that are a bit up in the air and some that are not confirmed as of yet. I know Dwayne Lucas is shipping his horses in on Monday. John Service is Diamond King, who won the Tessio. He's scheduled to work at Parks Sunday morning, and we should see him coming into Pimlico pretty soon. So as the field starts to get assembled, I think we're going to have a really good race. And, of course, on Friday and Saturday as well, there are those really strong undercard races in addition to the Black Eyed Susan and the Preakness.
Yeah, the undercard races on both days are usually really competitive, excellent races. And it's really a fun 2 days. I always tell people that it's the most enjoyable Triple Crown race because you already know who the Derby winner is. Uh-huh. There's only one horse that can win the Triple Crown, and the rest of the races are just sensational. So it's a really fun experience to go to the Preakness.
I totally agree with you. I've always said that, and not just because I'm working there, but it really is my favorite. I think because there's maybe not as much pressure in the first leg or the last leg if there is a Triple Crown on the line, and people just come and enjoy themselves, and you know that the Maryland Jockey Club is going to roll out the red carpet and treat everybody in a great way and give everybody a great experience from top to bottom.
Talking with Acacia Courtney here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Acacia, one horse that is definitely confirmed is Quip, who is, much like Justify, owned in partnership by Windstar Farm and China Horse Club. Rodolphe Brise is the trainer, and he's a former assistant to Bill Mott. So he learned from one of the best. And here comes Quip, who many people feel could be one to maybe even knock off Justify if somebody's going to beat him.
You know, it's really interesting. It's I think, a really different angle to look at horses that maybe skipped the Kentucky Derby and are coming in fresh. And I think as far as the horse, it was a really wise move by the connections to opt out of the Kentucky Derby and to point for the Preakness. And they probably figured that they were going to have the Kentucky Derby winner with how good Justify had been. And I think that Justify has really done nothing wrong on the racetrack, and he'll definitely be a force to be reckoned with. But Quip has really proved himself. I think even winning the Tampa Bay Derby, and just, I think he's got a lot of quality. He's an up-and-comer that's really coming into himself. So maybe just having that freshness since not having run since the Arkansas Derby will be the key for him.
Yeah, Quip, one of the new shooters coming into the Preakness. You have Bolt Doro, who is still on the fence, but I believe they're looking to confirm with Bolt Doro, and we'll see if he can make an impact here and maybe turn the tables on Justify. Justify's gotten the better of him the past couple of times that they have met in the Santa Anita Derby and the Kentucky Derby, respectively. Acacia, really appreciate the visit here this morning. Keep up the wonderful work that you're doing, not just at Pimlico, but down at Gulfstream, too.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to saying hello when we get up there next week.
All right, great. Can't wait to see you guys.
All right, Acacia Courtney here on HRRN. Again, Justify is the horse to beat at Pimlico, and the Derby winner looking to stay undefeated and take that middle jewel. Will he win the Triple Crown? That's our poll question this morning at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We want to hear from you. And tell us what you think. Will he win the Triple Crown? Will he?
He could. I'll know more next week.
That's not an option. It's yes or no. Those are the two choices.
Well, it's too early to tell, really.
Yeah, well, I guess we would know after June 9th.
Yeah, well, it would
be a lot easier to answer that question.
For sure after June 9th. But but if he wins the Preakness, then you have to decide, can he get the mile and a half?
Right.
Can he stay?
Does he give you the look of a horse that can win the Triple Crown?
Yeah, because he's a very dominant horse.
Right.
I mean, certainly, you know, he's got that, the PPs show domination.
He's,
so.
He's one of those horses that drives me crazy because, as you know, and many people that listen to this program have heard me say this ad nauseum, I am a huge fan of the late pace numbers in the Brist past performances, and he's one of those horses that doesn't wow you with his late pace numbers, but he has great early pace numbers and mid pace numbers, meaning that he goes quick early, goes quick in the middle, and by then it's usually over anyways because he's in front. Nobody can catch him.
Right.
But at some point, I keep waiting for those late pace numbers to catch up to Justify, and they haven't.
Well, you know, they could in the Belmont Stakes, but he could look like Secretariat, you know,
or American Pharoah.
Just run away from the field once again. Your late pace horse in the Preakness is Quip. He's got 107 and 109 in his last two starts. But you know, when he's running early, he has 79 and 84 are his mid race pace numbers.
Yeah, and don't count out Bolt Doro either, because he can really finish. He didn't in the Kentucky Derby, but this horse can really, really finish. And I think he has enough early and mid pace to stay within shouting distance of Justify.
Yeah, I think that's where the balance comes in. And maybe being reunited with Corey Nakatani is going to make that difference.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that's just a great team, those guys. But Bolt Doro is a fine horse and certainly could have a say in the outcome.
All right, it is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. And when you're talking about horse racing, you talk about horse people. Yeah, that's what the folks are at the Lexus store of Lexington. They're involved in the business. They support the business with the Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every year. And they have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, Mike Hendricks, and you talk some horse racing, and then eventually you get to test driving one of those brand new Lexus. And trust me, you will love it at the Lexus store of Lexington. We're back to visit with Michael Hernan from Gainesway right after this.
He was the son of Forley out of Lady Golconda by Hasty Road and was foaled in 1970, the same year as Secretariat. But while Secretariat began showing championship mettle as soon as he began to train, this horse was very rapidly acquiring a marked reputation as an unmanageable rogue. He was a huge colt who very early on displayed an ungentlemanly interest in fillies. Further, he had the dangerous and painful habit of savaging any individual who dared come close enough to him. His owners, the Lazy F Ranch, had him gelded to try to correct a problem, and though that surgical process made him at least trainable, he never got to the racetrack till he was three. He broke his maiden in his second start and had second-place finishes in the Hutchinson Stakes and the Florida Derby. But he ran a distant fourth while priced at 28-1 to Secretariat in that colt's record-smashing win in the Kentucky Derby. This horse came into his own in his sophomore season on the track in the fall with convincing scores in the Roamer and the Discovery Handicaps at Aqueduct, and that, as the saying goes, was the start of something big indeed. At four, his star shone brightly in the heavens of thoroughbred racing. He began that campaign with four straight wins. He was a strikingly handsome, huge bay, standing 17-plus hands, and one could easily pick him out of a crowd of horses at any distance. He did have a gift for the crowd-pleasing late charge that made him very popular with the public, and horsemen were awed by his incredible versatility. At the conclusion of his four-year-old campaign, he won the 12-furlong Woodward by a neck, and 3 weeks later came back to soundly whip the nation's premier sprinters and the 7-furlong Vosburgh handicap, winning it by three. And just 3 weeks after that, he rolled to a devastating win over a solid field of 9 distance horses in the grueling 2-mile Jockey Club Gold Cup. In that year of 1974, he won 3 Eclipse Awards, Best Older Horse or Gelding, Best Sprinter, and Horse of the Year. He followed that year with 2 other scores as Horse of the Year, both in 1975 and 1976. In both those years, he won 2 legs of the handicap Triple Crown. The second year, just missing the triple and losing by a heartbreaking nose to Foolish Pleasure in the Suburban. His 1976 campaign as final on the racetrack found him chalking up one of the most remarkable victories in the chronicled annals of racing in the Marlboro Cup. Honest Pleasure was in receipt of 18 pounds from this horse, who was burdened with a weighty impost of 137 pounds. Honest Pleasure moved out to what appeared to be an insurmountable lead in that 10-furlong test. At the top of the stretch, you couldn't find our horse of the day with a proverbial searchlight, but on a sloppy track, Bill Shoemaker turned him loose and he gobbled up huge chunks of real estate in an absolutely breathtaking run that made him appear as though literally shot from a cannon. He got up to win it in the very last stride by a head and a heart-stopping charge to the wire. He was finally forced into retirement by a bad ankle, but not before he had answered the call to post 57 times and winning 34 of those and being in the money on 50 of those occasions. 50 for 57 in the money. Remarkable. That great thoroughbred who turned from rogue to champion and was, in every sense of the word, a people's horse was for go.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
A 5-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first 4 dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in 6 countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Graded Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop.
The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit adinastallions.com.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it is Bonamoy Girl taken on by Wonder Godot, but here comes Midnight Bizou, and she's charging down the center of the track. Wonder Godot in front. On the inside, Bonamoy Girl fights on. Midnight Bizou is starting the far outside. It's Wonder Godot. And on the inside, Bonamoy Girl. It's down to these two. And it's going to be Bonamoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks over Wonder Godot. And then a photo between Midnight Bizou and Eskimo Kisses in a final time of 1 minute 49.13 seconds.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com here in the month of May. And the month of May has been pretty good for our friend Michael Hernan at Gainesway. Larry Coleman's had the call of the Kentucky Oaks last Friday, and Monomoy Girl, so impressive. She just would not be denied victory. She held everybody off, and she continues what has been a remarkable role for her. Now, 6 for 7 lifetime, she has earned $1.1 million, and she is a daughter of Gainesway stallion Tapazar and co-bred by our good friend Michael Hernan, who is with us now. He is at Churchill Downs, so he has an update on what's been happening throughout the morning, but also an update on that very talented filly, Monomoy Girl. Michael, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning, Mike. Great to be with you and Jude again, and thanks very much. It was a terrific weekend for Brendan Olive Gallagher, co-breeders with me of Monomoy Girl. And it's really a dream come true. It's slowly seeping in. Had a look at her this morning. She looks great. And she's pointed to the Acorn Grade 1, June 9th at Belmont Park on Belmont Stakes Day. So that's her next assignment, and everybody's looking forward to that. And she ran a 1.5. Her lifetime best on the sheets. It was a big jump from a 3, and she's an improving filly, and she showed us this great will to win and courage down the inside, having been headed in the Oaks. And we knew she had a lot of speed and ability, but she showed us real courage, and she's a very special filly.
Yeah, well said, Michael. She had to hold off a very game Wonder Godot, who gave her everything that she had. She ran lights out, but Monomoy Girl would not be denied in that Kentucky Oaks. For you, sitting there as a co-breeder, watching her and knowing it meant so much to the stallion Tapazar, take me through that stretch run. Tell me about sitting there watching her battle Wonder Godot.
Well, in a way, backing up, Mike, the stretch run started for me back in April when Brad Cox shipped her in, it's actually late March, into Keeneland, and I watched him train her, spend a bit of time with him, very impressed with his organization, his people, and himself. And I saw the filly develop, mature, and gain weight, and then she was very dominant in the Ashlands Stakes there at Keeneland. And she really progressed after that race physically. She picked up, I would estimate, 30 to 40 pounds. And I was confident going into the Oaks that she was ready to run her best race ever. Now, if that was going to be good enough or not, I wasn't sure. I was optimistic it would be. But Brad had done a terrific job with her. And like I said to many people who asked me about her before the race, I said, there are no excuses. This filly is primed. She's ready. And I was confident she'd show up. So it was quite a thrill. And, of course, standing Tapazar and developing his stud career, which is my job at Gainesway with the Stallions, that's very gratifying. And I'm a big supporter of Tapazar. I've got 2 yearling fillies by him, one in partnership with Dr. David Richardson, who's well-known. Guy around Churchill Downs, especially member of the Jockey Club, and you know, I was expecting Tapazar to start doing this sort of thing. And he was a horse who progressed himself through his career. He did his best running as a four-year-old and culminated his racing career with a strong victory by three lengths in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Santa Anita. And I think I'm seeing a correlation with his stock. They do take some time to come along, but they do come along. And frankly, I expect this filly to continue to improve. He had a very impressive winner at Churchill Allowance on Oaks Week, named Mr. Crow. He's a talented horse, and Hollywood Handsome had run a very good race to be second in New Orleans in the New Orleans Handicap for Dallas Stewart. So I think you're going to see more traction for Tapazar. His two-year-olds averaged over 100,000 this year at the two-year-old sales, and we've had a good level of interest and sold several more seasons to the horse. He's a good breeder. He's fertile like his father. And we still have a little room on his book. And we do cap our books at Gainsway at 120 mares, so everyone can get in when they need to. And on the way out, you know, the market isn't oversupplied with the product, and people can get a return on their investment.
Have you had a bunch of people inquire about Tapazar? I know it's getting late in the breeding season, but
well it is, Jude, but we've sold probably a good 15 seasons since the filly won the Oaks, and you know, he'll end up breeding probably 80 mares, and we can add a few more mares, and we can cut a bit of a deal as well. So I'd encourage people to take a look if they haven't made a mating decision, or if they have a mare that just isn't getting info and they want to try him. Please, they're welcome to call me at Gainsway, myself or Ian Tapp, and we'll take care of the season business. So yeah, this is a breakthrough racehorse for Tapazar, and it establishes him, and you know, of course we stand Tapit, as you know, and having a son emerge as a very good stallion in his own right is really a real endorsement of Tapit himself.
Talking with Michael Hernan from Gainsway Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com. Michael, not only did Monomoy Girl cross the finish line first in the Kentucky Oaks, and that was certainly a special moment, but it was special on Oaks morning, when your day began with a new arrival, a colt by Orb. Tell me a little bit about that story.
Well, this Orb colt happens to be out of Tapazar's mother, named Winning Call. She's a deputy minister mare. She's a beautiful looking, very kind mare. She's now 20. And she had a very nice colt foal by the Derby winner Orb, who stands at Claiborne. And we're optimistic that Orb will come forth with runners on the racetrack. And this colt is owned in partnership. And he arrived at 6:20 in the morning, and the foaling was easy. And he's done well since then, and I'm very pleased with him. And we're just optimistic now that on the normal 28-day cycle, we can get Winning Call back in foal to another young son of Tapit at Gainsway, namely Anchor Down, top miler in New York. He was trained by Todd Fletcher. Steve Young bought him from us as a yearling at Keeneland in September, and Anthony Beck bought him back. He's a homebred product. He's a half to Sweet Lulu, grade one winner of the test. Anchor Down is an excellent breeding horse. He's highly fertile, and he's got excellent first crop foals, and he's certainly a horse that breeders with a late mating decision and want some Tapit blood, they should also consider him.
Who did you get a chance to see over at Churchill this morning, Michael?
Well, we went down to see Monomoy Girl, and we did see her, but they had decided to go early. It was somewhat warm and humid, and I missed her on the track because she had gone out prior to 7:30. But so we went down to the gap, and next thing I know, the cameras are there, and I figured they're there for a reason. and justify the most impressive Kentucky Derby winner wire to wire for Bob Baffert and Mike Smith and Glenwood Farm of John and Tanya Gunther, who bred him. He was out on the track, and I was able to get a little clip, a video, as he came past me, and which I've sent to you and Jude. And I thought he would look tremendous. His weight's good. He was relaxed. He was moving well. And I, you know, Jimmy Barnes, who I spoke to in the barn there, was very pleased with him. And the colt will go up the road to Pimlico and contest the Preakness Stakes in route to a bid for the Triple Crown. And Elliot Walden and David Hanley, the principals at Windstar, were there to oversee the colt. And I could tell, you know, they're very happy with him now. And, you know, he's going to take all the beating, you know, as we go forward. He's hugely talented. He's undefeated. He's a big horse. But for a big horse, he had a lot of natural speed. He showed it at Churchill, 22 and change. And he dominated the race. And I think he's terrific. And I think he's great for racing.
Yeah, he's become an instantaneous star. And you're right. It looks like the Preakness is a mere formality. We never want to get ahead of ourselves. But, you know, he's beaten pretty much every horse in the race. So it's not a surprise that he's going to be a short price. And a lot of people, according to our poll this morning, a lot of people think he's going to win the Triple Crown. That's that's a big ask, but he's done everything right so far.
He has. He does look like the superior colt of his generation, in my opinion. And I think if he gets through it at Pimlico, I think he's going to relish the galloping track of Big Sandy, namely Belmont Park. And I don't think, you know, he's got a high-level cardio. He's got speed. He can carry it. He's 16-3. He stands over a lot of ground. He's got a huge stride. And he's a very talented horse, and I think it's great to have him on the scene. He's in very capable hands, and, of course, Bob developed American Pharaoh, who's now over at Ashford, the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, and he just might be coming back with another one here in the form of Justify.
Have you looked down the road at Monomoy Girl's Pedigree and see how she nicks with Justify?
Well, since I don't own her, I have not done that, and I'm going to leave her racing career to Brad Cox and his management, and she is appointed to the Acorn, so it's one race at a time. We did breed Drumette Friday morning to Mastery at Claiborne, undefeated son of Candy Ride. And he bred her very well, very effectively, and we're optimistic now she'll conceive from that cover, and that will give us options with the mare going forward, and we'll keep a close eye on Monomoy Girl. So her fall target, of course, is November 2nd at Churchill Downs, her home base, when she'll run in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. So I know Brad is going to work back from that date. He's been quoted as saying that. She loves Churchill. She's happy there, and it would be very exciting to drive back to Churchill, please God, in November and watch her contest the Distaff against older fillies, mind you. But as she continues to develop and improve, I think she'll be competitive and give her very best showing November 2nd at Churchill.
He's Michael Hernan from Gainsway Farm, and like all of our guests who appear on the Equine Forum, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Michael, appreciate the visit, my friend. Congratulations again, and keep it rolling.
Thanks to everyone, and keep an eye on Monomoy Girl. I think her best races are ahead of her.
Scary thought. She's very, very good, and Michael Hernan is as well, doing a great job out there at Gainesway. We're going to get to one final break here in the first hour. We'll get you set for hour number two. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
The fifth running of the Grade II $500,000 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. Featuring many of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country on an afternoon that includes an all-stakes, all-turf late pick four and a special post time of 3:45 p.m. Eastern. Nominations close Wednesday, May 23rd. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate today. It's the Grade II $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
It is all Monomoy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Performance.
Midnight Bizu is starting the far outside. It's Wonder Gadot, and on the inside, Monomoy Girl. It's down to these two, and it's going to be Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
As a partner in a thoroughbred, the horse is yours every day, not just race day. Bergen Stables understands. When you join their New York bred partnerships, you not only get the thrill of competition, but you get quality time with your horse and a meaningful voice in decision making. To get involved, visit BergenStables.com. Any partnership can put you close to the action. Bergen Stables brings you close to the horse.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They turn for home, a quarter of a mile to run. It's Freehouse got a short lead. Silver Charm, Captain Badger trying to look for a way through. He's going to angle out for the stretch drive. Down to the inside, Touch Goal. What a race from Touch Goal today. Final furlong. Freehouse by a head. Silver Charm, Captain Badger, Touch Goal, Freehouse, Silver Charm. Head to head, they're in very close quarters. Shoulder to shoulder, head to head, nose to nose. Freehouse, Silver Charm, Captain Badger. Oh, it's close. Could be Silver Charm in between Freehouse, Captain Budget, and a Preakness we will remember.
Dave Rodman with the call of that 1997 running of the Middle Jewel, the Triple Crown. Yeah, it was a memorable one indeed. Silver Charm getting the victory, and we move on to Belmont with an opportunity to win the Triple Crown. That was the first of six victories in the Preakness for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. Interestingly enough, that four of the six horses that won that race for Bob had an opportunity to pull off the Triple Crown. He had Real Quiet the following year. He had War Emblem. And then, of course, American Pharoah, who did pull off the Triple Crown in 2015.
He has a knack for that, huh?
He has a knack for a lot of things. It's good to be Bob Baffert.
Yeah, the guy's amazing, really. It's It's unbelievable that a trainer could have, in this day and age especially, could have that many opportunities.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sharp trainers around, and there's such a competitive sales market, and to continue to come up with these horses year after year after year. I know they spend a lot of money to get them, but just picking the right ones is amazing.
I'm excited to see this showdown on the training side of things with the Preakness Stakes this year, because you have Baffert, who's won it 6 times, and you have Lucas, who returns to the Preakness again. He's a 6-time Preakness winner. So between the two of them, they've been pretty good in this middle jewel. And now Wayne's going to send out 2 horses to try to knock off Justify. It's a tall order with those 2 horses, with Bravazo and Sporting Chance. But hey, Wayne's been known to pull a rabbit out of a hat before.
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed in their running Sporting Chance, because he ran so good sprinting, right, in his last start and the Pat Day Mile. It was a one turn mile.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's more suited to the one turn races.
Yeah, it does.
So I thought he had him on a good trajectory for the rest of the year, but now he's gonna try to take on Baffert in the Preakness, and maybe, I don't know, a little bit of a reach there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, because a couple of years ago at Saratoga, I think it was 2 years ago, I spent time with Nick Zito, and he said, you know, the reason that Wayne and myself have won so many of these big races, and a lot of them were kind of unexpected with some horses that weren't the favorite necessarily, is because we were in them. We entered. We put our horses in there, right? You can't win it if you're not in it.
Right.
So, well, I think there's something to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you have to enter the race. But, you know, sometimes I think because it's a classic race, people do a lot more reaching.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got a horse that really doesn't want 2 turns, I mean, I don't know if you'd want to run him in there, but people do. They want the experience. They want the chance at victory. And I guess once in a while, some horse pops up and wins, and you know, that turns out that it affects you for the rest of your life. So, yeah. You know, it's an interesting concept.
All right, we've got to get to the second half of the program. It's going to kick off with Elliot Walden from Windstar, the owners. Co-owners of Justify. That comes your way in just a couple of minutes. Peter Erton, who sends out Core Beliefs in today's Peter Pan, the prep for the Belmont Stakes at Belmont Park, is going to be with us at 9:40 Eastern Time as well. So a lot of things to get to. We'll do it next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Audible by 3. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. 5 Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
It's a game of name the margin. This Mendelssohn is going to absolutely demolish them. And this thing's going to go to Kentucky and win by nearly 50 meters, I reckon.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Good Magic has been defeated, then Machismo. Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under my Router Tees Jr.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Equine Forum rolling on this morning, all presented by FarmPaint.com here in the month of May. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick 4. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And if you missed any portion of the program so far, our interviews with Acacia Courtney talking about the Preakness and the big race down at Gulfstream today, the big drama stakes. Or Michael Hernan, who joined us in the first half of the show to look back on Kentucky Oaks winner Monomoy Girl. Simply head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows. Listeners in 160 countries have made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for live racing coverage, and we thank you for that, and we encourage you to do the same. Busy first half of the program, JT.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff we went over. And the second half promises to be even better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Michael Hernan said that he got a chance to see Justify this morning on the racetrack, and he said he looked spectacular, which is music to the ears of our good friend Elliot Walden from Windstar Farm, who is the president, CEO, and racing manager of that outstanding organization. He joins us now. And Elliot, first and foremost, congratulations on another Kentucky Derby victory.
Thank you so much, guys. How you all doing today?
So far, so good.
Yeah. How about you? Are you still on cloud nine?
You bet. Yeah, it's a whole lot better to win it than to lose it, for sure.
Well, you know that feeling well, and I loved it in the post-race press conference.
Losing or the winning?
Well, now you know both, right? Because
I do know both.
Yeah, Bob was very cognizant of that in the post-race press conference. I thought that was great.
Well... It was it was a blessing, and you know, the horse is an amazing horse, and he just seems to continue to do well, and we're real excited. Watched him gallop this morning, very happy with the way he went, and just excited for next Saturday.
Well, I know that you're excited as the owner of the horse, and you should be. But when you were watching it as a former trainer and you're seeing those fractions, 22.24 for the opening quarter, 45.77 for the half, what's going through your mind at that point?
Didn't like it. Didn't like it at all.
Yeah, that 22 and change, scary.
Yeah, I was very concerned. Didn't think he was going to hold on. Actually started watching Audible a little bit because I thought that, you know, a horse was going to come from off the pace. So shows what I know.
Well, Audible ran a heck of a race. I mean, he really ran well, I thought.
He really did. He ran a super race too. And so we, you know, it was just a great day all around. I thought he was second. And when we came out of the winner's circle with Justify, I said to Kenny, he didn't get up. I thought I was shocked because when I watched it go by the wire, I said, Kenny, we're first and second. So, you know, with all the mayhem, we didn't see the photo come down.
Well, you saw the one that mattered, and that was Justify, rolling to a 2.5-length victory. You mentioned that you didn't think that he was going to hold on because of those early fractions and that hot pace, Elliot. So how much more impressive is it now that he was able to hold on and win by 2.5 lengths?
Well, that's a great point because there's been some really good horses not be able to do that. Bodie Meister, Palace Malice comes to mind. They set those kind of fractions and weren't able to hold on. And the fact that he did, I think, is a credit to him.
He's got that great early speed where he just runs horses off their feet. I mean, it's so hard to get close to him, and then, you know, he's so far in front that nobody can make up ground on him. He's really very impressive to watch.
Yeah, that's the thing about him, Jude. He's very tactical, and he does. He makes horses chase him, and then when they get ready to say, okay, let's go try to beat him, he just goes into another gear. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's spectacular, and obviously he loved the going last week. It was a bit ugly at Churchill Downs, but it didn't bother Justify. And Elliot, I think that's one thing that has to impress you maybe even more than anything, and I could be wrong, the fact that he is so lightly raced and nothing seems to bother him. He seems to perform on any surface, under any condition, against any competition.
So far, and we hope that continues.
Yeah. Well, it's nice when you look at the past performances and it says bid three wide, unwavering. I mean, that was a great description of that run. I mean, he was just the same all the way around. Never looked like he was in any danger as you're watching.
No, and I mean, it's pretty incredible. I mean, we just, like I said, very grateful that he's in our barn It's just those horses just kind of arrive. You buy them and you hope for the best, but all of a sudden they just turn into a monster like that, and we're just very grateful.
Do you
No, go ahead, JT.
Do you think he'll stay the mile and a half looking down the road? I may not get to talk to you again before the race. I'm just interested in your professional opinion.
I'm not going there.
Okay.
we're focused on next Saturday.
Oh, you're starting to sound like a football coach now.
Well, I mean, I think you just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think we'll know a lot more once we get through next Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good point, Elliot. What's your approach going into the Preakness Stakes? You're going to be a heavy favorite. Does that give you more confidence, or does it make you maybe even a little bit more uneasy because there is such a big bullseye on your back?
No, I think you prefer that. I mean, I'd rather run the favorite any time because it means you're the best horse going in. It doesn't mean you're successful, but it does. I'd rather run the favorite every time. So I think we're happy with that role, you know, he's got to go out and do it. And looks like it's going to be rain again possibly, so I don't know how that plays into it. I wasn't crazy about the rain on Saturday, and you know, but obviously he handles a sloppy racetrack, and we'll see what happens.
There was a lot of talk this week about his feet and maybe even a foot bruise. What can you tell us on that front?
The horse is fine. He's training well. That was behind him midweek, Monday or Tuesday, and you know, he's shown no indication of any issue since then.
All right, and you'll have one other entrant in the Preakness next week. That's Quip, Rodolphe Brise, a former assistant to Bill Mott, sending Quip to the post. He's a very, very talented runner. What can you tell us about him?
He's doing great. He's going to work tomorrow. Excited to see him run as well. I think, quite honestly, I don't think he beats Justify if Justify runs like he's been running. But if for some reason he stubs his toe and it becomes a wide-open race, I think Quip's as good as anybody else in there.
Yeah, he's obviously got a lot of talent, and his last two races have been excellent. So it's interesting to have you know, a backup plan in there. And he's a quality horse. He's one of the best horses that looks like is going to run in the Preakness.
Yeah, and, you know, we got a little sideways with him with all the traveling this spring. Kind of didn't land right on Derby Day to run him because of the going, you know, he based in New Orleans. He vanned to Tampa, vanned to Kentucky, trained there, vanned to Oakland, vanned back from Oakland. So, you know, it just took its toll on him a little bit, and we felt like the 3 weeks wasn't the right thing to do for him in the long run and in the short run. Didn't think that he would run as well as he could, but boy, he's really bounced back. And just his weight, color, attitude's all very positive right now. So I think he's going to give a good account of himself.
Is he still at Keeneland? Is he going to work at Keeneland tomorrow?
He's going to work at Keeneland tomorrow, yes.
Talking with Elliot Walden, who is the president, CEO, and racing manager at Windstar Farm, the owners of Kentucky Derby winner Justify. Elliot, before we let you go, what's next for Audible and for Noble Indy?
Noble Indy's probably going to run in the easy goer. And Audible is pointing for the Belmont.
All right. Well, the way he finished in the Kentucky Derby, you would think that would be a great spot for him. So, again, my friend, congratulations on all your success, and couldn't be happier for you. Keep it rolling, and we'll see you in Baltimore next week.
Thanks, guys. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Elliot Walden, Windstar Farm, and a very happy person indeed. And, Jude, I loved it. He said, we're taking it one race at a time, right?
Oh, yeah. He's been watching too many NFL films. It's a standard you know, response. But yeah, you kind of, it's like what I said to you, you know, when you said, is he going to win the Triple Crown? I said, well, I'll let you know, it's too soon to tell.
Right.
But, yeah, I understand the thought process behind that, but I was talking more like pedigree wise or something. I wasn't looking for a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, what's your opinion of the horse? Can he stay the mile and a half?
Yeah, and you know, look, I mean, he certainly looks like he can, but he's not going to go 22 and change, 45 and change in the Belmont Park.
Well, we certainly would hope not.
A half, right? Somebody's going to run him down if he tries that in the Belmont Stakes. So he's got to learn to be a little more tractable in his races and be able to settle just a little bit early on.
Yeah, well, I think you could do anything with him. He doesn't seem to be the kind of horse that, you know, needs a particular pace or whatever. I mean, he's like a kingpin. He is the race.
Yeah. So. Well, you look at the Santa Anita Derby, and he got out to that easy lead, and Mike was able to settle him down. And even though he was in front the whole way, he went the half that day in 47-4 and 112-3 for the six furlongs. So, yeah, he doesn't have to blast off. And when they left the gate in the Kentucky Derby, Mike was hustling Justify. He told us earlier in the week when we talked with him that the key was being able to, as he put it, jump well from the gate. He said, if we jump well and break well, I can get him into a position off of Promises Fulfilled. And he said, from there, we'll be okay. Exactly how it played out. Exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't always work that way, especially in the Derby, but it certainly did. And, you know, you didn't really think Promises Fulfilled was going to stay the mile and a quarter anyway. So it's a nice target to have in front of you because you know that horse is probably going to stop. So,
yep.
You know, you just cruise along and try to go as easy as you can.
Elliot Walden, like all of our guests who appear on the Equine Forum, is going to receive a gift courtesy of our friends up in Saratoga, New York at Embrace the Race. It is the apparel, excuse me, for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back with our Blood Horse News update, a visit with Brent Elliott, the master distiller at Four Roses Bourbon, and Peter Erton, who trains Core Beliefs in this afternoon's Peter Pan. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
The fifth running of the Grade II $500,000 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. Featuring many of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country on an afternoon that includes an all-stakes, all-turf late pick four and a special post time of 3:45 p.m. Eastern. Nominations close Wednesday, May 23rd. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate today. It's the Grade II $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade One Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family.
If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Chiefs Crown, Dominic Beth aboard, drawing off to lead by two. Here comes Jake's Prospect, gaining with every stride on the outside. Eternal Prince is finished, and here comes the sprint drive. Here comes Jake's Prospect on the outside. Jake's Prospect on the outside, flying at the finish, and I think he made it. Jake's Prospect with Jockey Pante, I believe, was up to win it by about a nose. Chiefs Crown looked like the winner through the stretch, but he didn't have it.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Happy to have you back with us. That was Dave Johnson with the call. Tank's Prospect winning the 1985 running of the Preakness under Pat Day. Dwayne Lucas, the Hall of Fame trainer. That was the second of six victories in the Preakness for the coach. The first one coming, do you know when? JT,
I'm putting
you on the spot.
I'm the worst racing historian ever.
1980 with a horse who was ridden by Angel Cordero by the name of Codex.
Oh, Codex. Yeah, that's the one. He told Jeff, he goes, that wasn't very hard. We're going to win a lot of these. Right? And then he went 8 years until he won his next classic race, which was the Kentucky Derby, I believe.
Yep. Yeah.
So he... He learned what it's like. It's not that easy.
There is nothing easy.
He makes it look easy sometimes, but it's not that easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, a couple of side notes here on the trainer front. Want to say congratulations to Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, who last weekend picked up career win number 8,000. Think about that, 8,000. He continues as the second winningest trainer in the history of the sport behind only Dale Baird. And somebody who is on kind of the flip side of that, who just picked up his very first career win, is our good friend Norm Cassie, who is out on his own now and saddled his first winner earlier this week. So congratulations to Norman.
Yeah, that was fantastic watching Norm win that race. And Julian Leperoux, you know, Julian is not a big whip guy, hardly ever uses a whip, but that horse got a couple extra taps down the lane. Julian was not making any mistakes there. He was not going to get beat on the wire, and it was a great thing to watch, and I'm very happy for Norm. He's got a brilliant future.
Yeah, just tremendous stuff, and let's hope he can keep that ball rolling now. You get that first one out of the way, they tend to come a little bit easier after that as the pressure tends to be off just a little bit. So congrats to Norm. Congrats to Steve Asmussen. All right, it is time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. And I'm going to really hope I pronounce this correctly, but I'm going to go with Komodi wins the Express Bet Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes. And the Express Bet company is pleased to announce that the grand prize winner of its $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes is Josh Komodi of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Josh and a guest will attend this year's Preakness Stakes, where he will make a potentially life-changing $25,000 bet on the race. Now, no pressure. Komodi was selected from thousands of entrants and millions of entries to travel to this year's Preakness Stakes to make his $25,000 bet. The grand prize package also includes tickets for two at Pimlico on Black Eyed Susan Day and Preakness Day as well. And, of course, he gets transportation and hotel accommodations. So pretty good stuff. It will be the first Preakness Stakes for Josh, and let's wish him all the best as he makes that $25,000 wager, courtesy of our friends at ExpressBet. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, simply head on over to BloodHorse.com.
Well, as we told you, our coverage of Preakness Day begins next Saturday. Of course, this program will be live from Pimlico, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Then you can tune in at 2 o'clock Eastern to all of our coverage of the Preakness Day undercard. That comes your way from 2 to 5. And then we segue into coverage of the 143rd Middle Jewel, 5 o'clock Eastern, and that coverage on Sirius XM Channel 93. You can head over to our website. That's probably the best way to do it. Go to horseracingradio.net. You'll see a listing of affiliates all over the country that will be carrying the Preakness. You'll see the Sirius XM channel information for all of our Preakness Day shows. And, of course, you'll see that Listen Live button where you can tune in worldwide, all right there for you at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, that really comes in handy when you're cruising around town and you want to hear a race. You just hit the Listen Live button and there it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun. You can do it on your phone, on your tablet, your computer, whatever it might be. You can Bluetooth us in your car and listen to us anywhere in the world. Our good friend Ed DeRosa at TwinSpires.com, who, by the way, is the title sponsor of our Preakness Stakes coverage next weekend, sent out a tweet yesterday, and I thought this was interesting, and I guess I knew this, but once I saw it in print, it really resonated with me. Since American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, classic winners are a combined 1-for-18 in all starts following their classic wins. Think about that. Nyquist went 0-for-3. Creator 0-for-2. Always Dreaming 0-for-5. Cloud Computing 0-for-3. Tappert 0-for-1. The lone win after that classic victory came from Exaggerator, who 1-for-4 after that classic win.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It's hard on those horses, I think. You know, the Triple Crown is a very difficult thing to win, and the series of races are very tough, and they give, you know, what they have, and then I don't know if there's a lot left in the tank after that. That's why I think it behooves a lot of owners to not run in some of those races if their horse isn't perfectly suited, because it's very difficult.
Yeah, and it's difficult when you're in that position to pass up a race like the Kentucky Derby because of that lure of the Kentucky Derby. It's the Derby, right? And if you have a horse that qualifies, whether you think he has a chance or not, it's hard to say, no, I'm not going to run. Right, that's difficult on a lot of owners.
Well, it's difficult, but you know that's why you make the big bucks, to make the difficult decisions.
Yeah,
you know, I just think, you know, if you have a nice horse, you want him to have a career. You don't want to wipe him out early in his 3-year-old season. I mean, that's just my view. I know there's people, they've dreamt their whole life of going to the Kentucky Derby, and you're not going to talk those people out of running in the race. But I think if you really sat down and analyzed it, you know, does my horse have a chance? What is his long-term, you know, prospects? What distances is he going to excel at? Because you have to be able to stay to win the Derby and the Belmont. The Preakness, maybe not so much, but still, it's a 1 3/16.
Yeah.
So it's you know, and a lot of horses can't run 1 1/8. So if you have one of those horses, I think sometimes it would behoove you to just say, let's skip this and look ahead to Saratoga or you know, the Haskell or something. And you know, if you want to compete against the top horses and just see where you're at.
I had this conversation with our good friend and our colleague, Jeff Bloom, who, of course, owned Midnight Bisou, who ran in the Kentucky Oaks, and also owned Snapper Sinclair, who was on the bubble for the Kentucky Derby. And we talked about it during the week. And, of course, Snapper Sinclair ended up missing a workout, so he wasn't going to run in any race on Derby Day. But they were pointing him for the American Turf. That's where they wanted to go. They feel like he's a really good turf horse, and that's where his future might be. And then when he was on the bubble for the Derby, I asked him, I said, well, what are you going to do if, you know, a couple more horses come out and you draw in? Then what happens? How do you resist not running in the Derby? And he said, well, it's going to be difficult. And he said, he admitted that. He said, it's going to be very difficult to turn that down, but we want to do what's right by the horse. And I think they felt all along he was a better fit for a race like the American Turf than the 1 1/4 Kentucky Derby on the dirt with 20 horses.
Yeah, and you know, you have to make those decisions. And especially, you know, Jeff runs partnerships, and he has to be the voice of reason for his partners.
Yeah, good point.
Of course, a lot of the partners want to run, but you know, you have to do what's right by the horse. Always, I believe, and hats off to Jeff for making that decision early on, even before his horse missed the work.
Let me get your early thoughts, JT, on the Preakness. Justify, obviously going to be a heavy favorite. We've talked about him in depth over the course of the program this morning. Bolt Doro, if he indeed goes, and I don't know, is he definitely confirmed yet, or is he still kind of on the fence?
Well, he was on the fence as of this morning early, but that could change, or maybe has changed. They were talking about making a decision today, probably. I mean, it's a week out, so we should decide what we're going to do.
Yeah, you got to make plans to get him up there and all that stuff.
Right.
Good Magic, runner-up in the Derby, is he still?
Chad, I believe, is leaning towards running in the Preakness. And I would think that would, that'd be a reasonable thing to do if the horse came out of the race in good shape. And, I mean, he was only 2.5 lengths behind. We all know things can change in the running of a race. And Chad won the race last year.
Yep.
So, I think there's some history there for him. And I think, it's a reasonable thing to run Good Magic in the Preakness.
We know that Bravazo and Sporting Chance are both confirmed from the coach, Dwayne Lucas. They will be there. We know Quip is confirmed. What are we hearing on Lone Sailor? Any update there?
I have not seen Tom make any decisions on Lone Sailor yet, but he's another one he'll have to decide relatively quick. I do know that Diamond King is going to be scratched today out of the Peter Pan and will be running in the Preakness. It makes sense. He won a free berth into the Preakness in the Federico Tessio Stakes at Laurel on April 21st. And he will be competing in the Preakness.
Louisiana bred, Give Me a Minute for Dallas Stewart. I think he is pointing that direction.
He was thinking about it. I don't think it's etched in stone yet. I think that a lot of these trainers will, try to decide in the next couple of days what's going on, because they're going to have to ship and whatever, but it's not that big of a ship from here to Maryland. So,
And we may see Tenfold too from the barn of Steve Aspen.
Tenfold, right? Yeah, definitely a possibility. His speed figures are a little light for the race, but he's only raced 3 times. And he's won 2 out of 3, so he'll have to step it up to win. But they're going to take a shot with him.
And a son of Curlin, so why not? We know that works out pretty well at Pimlico. All right, well, that action comes your way next weekend. This weekend we have the Peter Pan Stakes, which is a prep race for the Belmont, and one of the horses to beat in there, if not the horse to beat, is Core Beliefs, who only has a maiden win to his credit, but last time out, he finished behind Justify, and we all know how good Justify is, so that has to flatter his form. We're going to be joined by Core Beliefs trainer Peter Erton in our next segment, which comes up in just about 6 or 7 minutes from right now. But before we get to that point, it is time for our monthly visit with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon, and that's located right here in the heart of horse country in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Today I have the privilege of visiting once again with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director with Four Roses. What do you remember about that day in 2005 when you first walked through the doors here at Four Roses?
That's actually pretty funny, because when I started, the week I started was the week of Bourbon Festival. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in that, but it's basically like the whole industry, and we're still producing in the background, but everyone kind of stops what they're doing, and it becomes, it's like the week where everybody comes to Kentucky just to learn to celebrate bourbon. So really not a lot of work gets done. It's all about showcasing to guests what we do. So like here, We host events on site. We're going to Bardstown to participate in events. It's just a lot of celebration and promotional type stuff. So that was the week I started.
Wow. Could you imagine at that time that you'd be sitting here 13 years later, which, let's face it, that's really not that long of a time, and sitting here as the master distiller of Four Roses?
No, yeah, I had no idea. I almost didn't take this job. Actually, it was I was in Tennessee. I had just bought a house, just gotten married, and had a job. My wife had a job. And we came up and we took a tour of Woodford Reserve. We were just up here visiting family one weekend. And I'd grown up in Kentucky. I went to school at UK. So this has always been home. But I'd been living down there for about 7 years. And I thought, you know, I bet this industry needs chemists. I bet this is something I could do, which is my background. And I actually, that very weekend, I got home Sunday night, got online, and I found this job posted. And went back and forth, came up, interviewed, I was offered the job, and I couldn't decide whether to take it or not. And this is 2005. This is before the resurgence in the popularity of bourbon. The only reason I was really interested in it was just because it was an industry that, being from Kentucky, was near and dear to my heart. It was interesting, and it just sounded like something I could, a job that I could enjoy on many levels, not just a paycheck. It was something I could really get passionate about.
Were you a bourbon drinker at that time?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You were? Okay.
Yeah. But what's funny is the first time I tried Four Roses was on my way, I came up for the interview the night before, and on the way, you could only get it in Kentucky at the time, I bought a bottle on the way to the hotel the night before, and I tried it that night, the night before my interview for the first time. And that was probably as much a factor in my decision to take this job as anything. Just I fell in love with the bourbon. You know, again, this was before the boom in bourbon, but I knew that it was a fantastic product, and as a company, that we would do well because we were just now starting to come back to the United States, and which we have, but I never imagined it would be like this, and I certainly never imagined that I'd be the master distiller. You know, actually, 2015 was when I took over, so 10 short years after that, I had no idea.
And you took over for a gentleman by the name of Jim Rutledge, who was the master distiller here at Four Roses. Tell me about working with Jim and learning from him.
Oh, yeah. He's, if you know anything about bourbon, you know Jim Rutledge. You know that name. An absolute icon in the industry. Probably more passion and dedication than anyone I've met in the industry. It was just, yeah, it was an honor to work with him for the 10 years that I got to. I would say probably the most important thing I learned from him, which I learned so much, you know, it's hard to really pinpoint anything, but without getting technical and boring, probably the most important thing I learned was just how he, kind of what I touched on earlier with, you know, dealing with consumers and people that are curious about the bourbon industry. And he would take all the time in the world to answer, you know, group, you know, two people, if he bumped into them, you know, on the grounds, maybe two guests walking around, you know, could spend hours just answering their questions. And I think it's part of the same thing. He had that passion, that love, still does, for the brand, for the industry. And, you know, I could just see, you know, how important that was to the guests, you know, from the outside looking and seeing him interact with the consumers. It was just, you know, something to behold. And that's, I've always remembered that and always will.
Do you have a favorite flavor?
I get asked that a lot. And, you know, at times I might think I do, and then it'll change the following week. So it's hard to say. I can't even tell you which of the our three standard products is my favorite. It's almost, it could change by season, by time of day. It because they're all just different. It's just a different flavor for different occasions.
When you think about all the things you've accomplished here in the 13 years you've been here and working as the master distiller since 2015, what are you most proud of?
Right now, probably just because we're growing so quickly, we're expanding. You know, we're in the middle of doubling our capacity. We've just added a new bottling facility. We've just about anything you look at, anywhere in our process, has changed just dramatically in the last, not just 3 years, but last 12 years. And probably the biggest challenge for me this entire time that I've been here, in particular is in my role of director of quality, is maintaining the consistency, making sure that what's coming out of the still or out of the barrel or being put into the bottle, that it is always consistent and it has that same Four Roses characteristic that has gotten us to where we are today, that has put Four Roses on the map. And I think that's, and I kind of feel like the steward of that legacy. you know, maybe, you know, people always say, you know, what do you want to do? How do you want to make your mark? I'm like, you know, I don't even consider that. You know, maybe, you know, someday I'm sure that, you know, I want to experiment just as anyone would, and other people around here feel the same way. You know, we'll branch out and try something different at some point. But right now, I think what's most important, what I'm most proud of, is maintaining the brand that so many others have worked to build up to get us to where we are now.
Yeah, well, as you said earlier, if you know bourbon, you know the name Jim Rutledge. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that someday when people talk about bourbon, they're going to know the name Brent Elliott as well. So, Brent, I really appreciate it. All of our listeners across the nation now know Brent Elliott and appreciate you spending a little time and us getting to know you here today.
Thank you.
That's Brent Elliott, and my thanks to him for taking the time for that visit for Roses Bourbon. Boy, they do a tremendous job out there in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Peter Erton is on deck. We're going to get to him right after our next commercial break. We'll talk about the Peter Pan Stakes this afternoon at Belmont Park. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
Fans with Bob Baffert's Justify winning the Kentucky Derby make plans to be here at Santa Anita for the middle jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, on Saturday, May 19th. We'll have our annual Michelotta Rumble in the infield and the two-day Preakness Betting Challenge. Go to santaanita.com and get signed up now. As always, we'll offer a $500,000 guaranteed late pick four, as well as a revised wagering menu that includes $2 win, place and show parlay wagering, 50-cent trifectas, and more. First post time is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Philip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
These two well clear of Champagne Diva. Then it's a late run inside from Sister Sunday. But what a trip and what a performance from Camilla Princess. She's a stakes winner now. She goes away to win the Honey Rider 2.5 in the end.
Camilla Princess, the daughter of Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, rolled to victory in the Honey Rider Stakes at Gulfstream this past Saturday, capping a big weekend for her sire as Untamed Domain also finished a strong second in the Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill Downs. Camilla Princess is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, a champion three-year-old and brilliant winner of the Kentucky Derby and Dubai World Cup, rated 128 by Timeform. Animal Kingdom possessed unique talent as a Grade 1 horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
5/16 to go. Core Beliefs and Longdon joined by Regulator. Line of three. 2.5 lengths to Draft Pick and three more American All-Star. Core Beliefs, Longdon and Regulate at the top of the stretch. Core Beliefs hugging the rail just in front of Longdon. Regulate dropping off. He's 1.5 lengths away now. Draft Pick is fourth. Past the eighth pole and Core Beliefs still just in front of Longdon. 2 lengths to Regulate. 16th to go and Core Beliefs moves away from Longdon and Core Beliefs will come on and win it nicely from Longdon and Regulate and then Draft Pick.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. Core Beliefs, Michael Rona with the call of that maiden victory two starts back that was on March 8th at Santa Anita and drawing off to win quite easily by 3 1/4 lengths. Came back in his following start to be third behind Justify and Bolt Doro, and we know how good those two horses are. And because of that effort, Core Beliefs will be sent off at least as the morning line favorite in this afternoon's Peter Pan Stakes at Belmont Park. And his trainer, Peter Erton, is with us now. Peter, welcome to the program, my friend. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and looking forward to seeing Core Beliefs do his thing this afternoon. Talk about the decision to come east with this horse.
Well, it just seemed like a good decision. Wasn't much at Santa Anita happening right now. The American isn't for another two more weeks. It's in between the Derby and the Preakness. If by chance he runs really well, who knows? You know, maybe a month later we had bits to see where we're at, you know. So those are the kind of things. And the money wasn't bad either. And I think he might like the one-turn mile and eighth.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting distance, huh? The one-turn mile and an eighth, especially for a horse who's just learning the ropes of distance racing.
Yeah, I mean, he got around the two turns really well over here. If it was a mile and eighth anywhere else, that wouldn't have changed my mind. It's just another, and it's notoriously known for being a short field, so, and that's never a bad thing.
Is he a big horse, Peter?
I wouldn't say he's giant or anything. I mean, he's solidly built for a horse that's about 16-1, around 1,100 poundish. So he's not a giant horse, but he's not by no means small.
Well, I thought he ran really well in the Santa Anita Derby, and he ran into that buzzsaw in Justify, and of course, Bolt Doro's pretty good, too. He was a long way back from those two, but, you know, there's something to be said for the quality of competition there. Your thoughts on the Santa Anita Derby?
Well, I thought we, Tyler rode him to win. I mean, it wasn't like he was sitting back there just trying to pick up a check. Tyler actually went after him in the 3/8 fall. That may have taken a little toll on him late in the race, but you know, against maidens, his first time against winners off of a maiden win, I thought it was pretty respectable.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to go from a maiden race to grade one for any horse, and he really came through with flying colors. I thought he ran well, too. I mean, you can't expect to go against the big boys and beat them first time out unless you're some kind of super horse, but I thought it was a tremendous move forward, and it looks like he's been breezing well since.
He has. He's the kind of horse that just, he'll do what you ask of him. He's not going to overdo it. He's not a runoff type. He's very competitive. If we need a good work, we'll sometimes put some shades on him. But we took him off going into the route race because we didn't want him too keen. But we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll have to see how the race opens up and let Tyler do his thing.
It's got to feel good to be the morning line favorite going into the race, huh?
Not bad.
Never a bad thing. Yeah.
Never a bad thing, yeah.
You're right.
I don't feel like it's for being a favorite. I think it's just, but if I run all favorites, at least I know I'm running them where they belong.
That's right. Well, you've been on such a roll the last couple of years, and things have been going great for the Erton stable. Your late stepfather, Steve Ippolito, he's probably grinning ear to ear watching you win all these big races, huh?
I hope so. I miss him. A lot of older guys that I grew up with, my dad, Steve, and even Pete Kostoffi, the old guy used to hang out at my barn. I miss these guys.
Yeah, Pete, he was quite a character.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, you know, you ship and win a lot. Is there any particular keys that you use when you're shipping horses across the country?
Not really. I mean, we just get here a couple few days. That's when the ride comes. We kind of chill a little bit. We don't get too crazy about doing too much over a track that we're not familiar with, and hope we like it. I mean, you know, too many times I've seen you go in there and they put the pedal to the metal on the track you don't know, and you get a little body sore. So I don't know. We've just had luck at places like Keeneland and not so much Florida. Florida's been kind of a not so much fun for me. kind of place. But
it's hard to ship into Florida and win because the weather is so different than anywhere else. It's very muggy, and even though you're coming from California where sometimes it's hot and a little bit muggy, it's very, very difficult to ship into Florida, you know, on top of a race. You almost need to go like a month in advance or something if you're gonna be competitive, I think.
I guess. I haven't figured it out.
Well, try an earlier ship next time if you decide to go. Sounds like you'll avoid that, but if you go, try an earlier ship.
Well, I will. Pegasus next year maybe, right?
There you go. I like the way you think.
Yeah, well said. Talking with trainer Peter Ertin here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Peter, you referenced the fact earlier that the Peter Pan is a one-turn mile-and-an-eighth race, which is somewhat unique. As a trainer, do you do anything different with your horse when you're training him up to a one-turn mile-and-an-eighth race?
I don't think so. I mean, he's naturally fast. I'm not saying he's going to be on the lead or anything. I'm just saying a mile-and-an-eighth, we kind of figured the pace would be a little bit kinder versus the mile race that was on Derby Day. I mean, that thing came up salty with a lot of athletic horses, and he takes more of a chance to get shuffled back. So, I mean, for us going coming off of the Derby, going into it, we're just trying to maintain his fitness, and I'm not trying to put any extra speed or anything into him. Just do his thing.
With Diamond King out of the race, too, there's not a lot of speed, and even though your horse drew the rail, you've got some horses that are kind of slow leaving there outside of you, so you should get an excellent trip.
Yeah, we're hoping for that. I mean, there might be somebody outside, but that decide they want a Yahoo out of there, whatever. We'll obviously let our horse run out of there and do what he does, and see what happens. You just have to play it by ear, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter, let me shift gears for just a minute here. Considering the fact that you have seen Justify and Bolt Doro firsthand, and you've been in the same race with them in the Santa Anita Derby, your thoughts on that performance of Justify in the Kentucky Derby?
That was pretty freaky. To go 45 and change, wasn't it? 45 and change, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they slowed up for it, but a beast of a horse. I mean, it's so exciting to watch him run, and I hope we have another Triple Crown winner here because it does nothing but good for the business.
Yeah, that would be quite a shock to have one back so quick after that long wait between the last couple. So
his maturity is just what's so amazing, though, to run so few times and act like a horse that's been running for over a year, a dozen starts. But Bob's done an amazing job with him, as he always does.
Yeah, he certainly seems like he's the real deal, and we'll find out next weekend if he can pass that test of the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. You know, Pete, when you look through some of the – Jude mentioned that the last few years have been really good for you. When you look back at some of the horses that you've sent out to win graded stakes, you see names like Ashley Loves Sugar and Giant Expectations and Champagne Room, Kobe's Back. I mean, the list goes on and on. When you think about these past few years, what's been the key to just having so much success?
Good clients. I mean, guys bringing you horses that you wouldn't normally get. I mean, that's without the horses and the clients, so we're just we're nothing. So, I mean, Alicia in that group, and CRK, and now Gary Broad giving me an opportunity, you know. Without the opportunities, we're not going to be able to show up, much less win. So that's pretty much what it is for us. And we've been doing it a while now, so it's we're getting an opportunity and totally appreciative of it.
Yeah, the clients mean so much, and you're only as good as your last race sometimes in this business. People tend to forget. So I like to bang the drum for you whenever I can because I know it's important to – you don't have 300 horses to choose from, and you do such a great job with the horses you get.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time, Judah.
Yeah, yeah, back when you were a jockey, back in the day.
Not a very good one either.
Well, you've exceeded the expectations as a trainer. They always say ex-jocks don't make good trainers, but in your case, you've showed everybody you know what's going on. So congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Right, well, Peter, you give a leg up to a pretty good one today in Tyler Bayes, and let's hope that he can get it done aboard Core Beliefs for you in that Peter Pan. All the best. Thank you for being with us here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. So we'll get that out to you, and go get it done later today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Peter Ertin. Here on HRRN, Core Beliefs 2-1 on the morning line in that Peter Pan Stakes, which is race 10 of 11 at Belmont this afternoon, post time 6:18 Eastern. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and wrap this one up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Fresh.
I'm calling because I saw one of your delivery persons today, and he was totally naked.
Ma'am, I sincerely want to apologize for any...
Fuck naked right there on the street.
Ma'am, we're doing all we can to...
And I say it's about darn time.
I know, and I'm gonna... Wait, what?
The human body is a beautiful thing, don't you agree?
Well, I...
We've suffered the tyranny of clothing for way too long.
Okay, but...
So thanks, Jimmy John's, for going all natural.
Actually, ma'am, it's our meats that are all natural.
Say what now?
Our meats are all natural. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
So I don't suppose I can expect all natural delivery in the future?
No.
Darn.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms was the nation's number one sire of two-year-olds in 2017 by percentage of winners. His top runners include multiple graded stakes performer Rich Mommy, winner of the Grade 3 Sugar Swirl, multiple stakes winner and graded stakes performer Recruiting Ready, and stakes winners He Hate Me and Sunset Ridge. In the ring, his yearlings have commanded prizes up to $220,000. Algorithms, standing at Claiborne College.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
It is all Monoboy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Performance.
Midnight Bizu is third on the far outside. It's Wonder Gadot, and on the inside, Monoboy Girl. It's down to these two, and it's going to be Monoboy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a two-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top five third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Can Justify remain undefeated and take the second jewel of the Triple Crown? Tune in to find out. The Preakness Stakes runs here, exclusively on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, Saturday, May 19th, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net to find your local affiliate or to listen live online.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, getting ready to wrap up this post-Kentucky Derby edition of the Equine Forum, all presented by FarmPaint.com. Our thanks to all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Acacia Courtney, who kicked it off for us in our first segment. Michael Hernan from Gainesway. Elliot Walden from Windstar. And Peter Ertin just a short time ago. And, of course, Brent Elliott from Four Roses Bourbon, who sat down with me for that interview to take us through some of his career moves. And boy, that's been a great journey for Brent Elliott and Four Roses. The Four Roses and I guess a few other things, maybe some Tito's vodka will be flowing next week if Justify can pull off the victory at Pimlico, huh?
Yeah, I would think so.
Probably so. You like the way I worked in all of our alcohol sponsors?
Yes,
there?
Hopefully they're represented at the bar on the backside.
I always wondered, I have to work on this. You and I are both big fans of rum as well. How do we not have a rum sponsor?
Well, I don't know. Now that Sir David Seal is selling his rum at the new liquor store in town, we might be able to get something done with them.
That's right. Yeah, we love that Barbados rum. Yes. We love everything about Barbados.
Foursquare, fantastic. Yeah. Foursquare Distillery, unsurpassed.
Unsurpassed indeed. Well, don't forget that next Saturday, this show will be live from Pimlico as we get you set for the 143rd Preakness Stakes. And then we're back at 2 o'clock Eastern time next Saturday with coverage of the Preakness Day undercard races before we segue into our exclusive coverage of the Middle Jewel at 5 o'clock Eastern, presented by TwinSpires.com. And you can head over to our website to check out it. Complete listing of affiliates, Sirius XM channel information, and to listen worldwide, that's horseracingradio.net. And while you're over there, check out the podcast of this show and all of our programs. JT, been a lot of fun as always, and here we go. The Middle Jewel looms on the horizon.
Yeah, you said it was post-Derby. I say it's pre-Preakness.
Ooh, well said. Yeah, well played. All right, for our producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey, Sean C., handling all of our social media, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pennell. We'll talk to you next week on HRN. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.